Volume 48, Number 3 of the Friend magazine for March 2018. Contents. From the First Presidency, Light in the Darkness, President Dieter F. Ugdorf. Abuelo Shoe Shop. Family Night Fun. Book of Mormon Reading Club. The Right Choice. Conference Blessings. Shine Your Light, Ready to Help. Apostles Testify of Christ, Elder M. Russell Ballard. The Great Serial Sacrifice. Show and Tell. Friend to Friend. Heavenly Father Listens, Elder Weatherford T. Clayton. Always Brothers. Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For Older Kids. For Older Kids. Practically Popular. Bright Idea. Food and Fun. Haircut Disaster. Fun Stuff. Puzzles Around the World. Music. Gethsemane. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff. Pitch Your Tent. Family History Quest. Old Testament Heroes. Abraham and Sarah. 7 days until Easter. Friend Junior. For parents of little ones. Jesus was a child too. Jackson loves Easter. Let's learn about Jesus. Scripture stories. Noah. Coloring page. Ruby gets ready. End of contents. Read by Charlene Stewart.
Friends by mail. Game changer. Last year, on the first day of school, I met a new student. He made friends with boys who didn't have good standards. They swore and sometimes made fun of other people. After a few weeks, I joined their group. My mom started to notice some changes in my attitude. I got into trouble with these boys who I thought were my friends. My mom spent months telling me that if I wanted to make better choices, I needed to switch my friends. But I didn't believe my mom. I got into a fist fight once. I didn't feel very happy. I felt frustrated sometimes. Fast forward 4 months. One afternoon, I read a story from the friend called Game Changer, April 2017. When my mom and I were done reading the story, I felt in my heart that I needed to change friends or I would continue to have a bad last 2 months in school. The next day, I went to school and decided to sit away from my friends. I sat beside a girl named Olivia. We started talking, and it took one day to become friends. My mom prayed that I could make a new friend easily after we read the story in The Friend. From this experience in my life, I have learned that your choice of friends affects your life a lot. Making new friends is not that hard if you make them with the right people. The Holy Ghost told me in my heart that I should sit at that different table, not tomorrow or in a week, but that day. I think Heavenly Father wanted to give me a new friend so that I could change. I'm thankful that I read the article in The Friend with my mom that day. Harrison C., age 9, British Columbia, Canada.
Dear friends, Easter is on April 1st, just a month away. We hope you'll enjoy the countdown activity to help you get ready for that important day. See page 24. On page 28, you'll also find a beautiful song called Gethsemane. As this song reminds us, the biggest battle that ever was won, this was done by Jesus. The fight was won by Jesus. Please write to tell us what Easter means to you. Love, The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of this month's Friends by Mail, read by Enzo Patello and Wes Nelson. From the First Presidency, meet our new prophet. On January 16, 2018, our leaders gave a special message from the Salt Lake Temple announcing that President Russell M. Nelson is the 17th president of the church. His counselors are President Dallin H. Oaks and President Henry B. Eyring. Here are a few things President Nelson said that day. Keep on the covenant path. If you have stepped off the path, may I invite you with all the hope in my heart to please come back. Our Father in heaven cherishes his children, and he wants each of us to return home to him. Look forward to the future with complete faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, whose church this is. Getting to know President Russell M. Nelson. He was born on September 9, 1924, in Salt Lake City, Utah. At age 10, he was an errand boy for his father's company. He was baptized when he was 16 years old. He met his wife, Dansel, when they were both in a college play. They were married in 1945 and had 9 daughters and 1 son. He was a doctor in the U.S. Army. Before being called as an apostle, he worked as a heart surgeon. There's a picture of him on page 3 holding a large model of a heart. He sometimes plays the organ at meetings with the apostles. One time, the prophet asked people to learn Chinese, so he did. He loves to ski with his grandchildren. After Dansel died, he married his wife Wendy in the Salt Lake Temple. He read every scripture that mentions Jesus Christ, and he asked us to do it too. End of the article. Meet our new prophet. Read by Wes Nelson.
Abuelo's Shoe Shop by Ray Goldrup. Based on a true story. I am sorry is not always easy to say. Children's Songbook, page 98. Miguel opened the door to his abuelo's, his grandpa's, shoe shop. He took a deep breath and smelled the leather. It was one of his favorite smells.
Hi, abuelo.
Abuelo was kneeling down and tracing a customer's foot onto a piece of paper. He didn't look up. Abuelo's hearing wasn't very good. Miguel sat down on a workbench. He looked at the stacks of cut leather. He imagined what abuelo would make with each one, using his hammer and pliers. The tools reminded Miguel of something else he loved. Abuelo always gave him a piece of candy whenever Miguel helped clean up. Miguel knew he wasn't supposed to take a treat without asking, but he was hungry now, and it looked like abuelo would be busy for a while.
Maybe I don't need to wait,
Miguel thought. Miguel reached under the counter for the candy jar. It was his favorite, sweet and spicy with chili powder. Part of him knew he should ask abuelo first, but part of him just kept thinking about how tasty the candy looked. He hurried and put it in his mouth. Pretty soon, the customer left. Miguel watched abuelo pick up a piece of leather and dunk it in some water. That helped make the leather soft and easy to work with. Miguel ate the rest of the candy as fast as he could. Then he walked over to abuelo. Abuelo looked up from his work.
Hello,
he said with a smile.
I didn't see you come in.
Miguel hugged abuelo. He hoped abuelo couldn't tell he'd eaten a piece of candy. Miguel pushed the worry away.
It looks like you're busy today,
Miguel said, pointing to the stacks of leather.
Do you need any help?
Sure. Could you pass me that thread?
Miguel reached for a long piece of thread. He tugged it between his hands. It was tougher than it looked.
Wow, that's strong.
Abuelo chuckled.
It has to be, to last through the wear and tear of life.
Abuelo pulled the thread through the leather. Then he got that look on his face that Mama sometimes called the wise abuelo look.
You know, we need to be more like this shoe,
abuelo said with a nod. Miguel squinted at the leather.
We do?
Yes, indeed. We need to stay strong. That way Satan's temptations won't make us fall apart.
The red candy flashed through Miguel's mind. He knew he should tell abuelo about it. Abuelo took an old shoe off the shelf.
See this big hole?
Miguel could probably fit his hand through the hole.
Yeah.
This was once a small hole that could have been fixed easily. But the owner waited, and now it's going to be much harder to fix. Bad habits and bad choices are like that hole. Best to fix them early.
Abuelo nodded again, and the wise Abuelo look turned back into a smile. They kept talking as Abuelo worked. The whole time, Miguel kept thinking about the red candy stick. When Abuelo finished, Miguel helped him clean up. Then Abuelo reached for his jar of candy. Finally, Miguel couldn't take it anymore.
I took one of your candies without asking,
he blurted out. Abuelo set down the jar in surprise.
What was that?
Miguel told him all about taking the candy.
I'm so sorry, Abuelo. I'll never do it again. I promise.
Abuelo gave Miguel a big hug. Miguel felt so much better.
Thank you for being honest. That's more important to me than just about anything else.
On the walk home, Miguel felt just like one of Abuelo's new pair of shoes, strong as can be and ready for life. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. One day, me and my mom went to pay my mom's water bill, and the guy in front of us dropped a whole lot of money, but didn't realize it. I hurried and gave it back to him. He said thank you very much, and that he didn't think any other kid would do that. I had such a good feeling after that. I will always remember that good feeling. Brianna C., age 9, Idaho, USA.
End of the story. Abuelo's Sue Shop. Read by Kristen Hawkins, Gabriel Reinwand, Van Farnworth, and Margot Patello.
Family Night Fun. Here's an idea for family home evening. What other ideas can you come up with? Following Jesus. Read Abuelo's Shoe Shop on page 4. Whenever we make a wrong choice, we can repent to help us stay strong, like Abuelo's shoes. Part of repenting is trying to be more like Jesus. Make these shoes to remind you to follow Jesus. 1. Help everyone trace their shoe on colored paper. Cut out the footprints. 2. Cut out 2 strips of colored paper for each person. Tape or glue the strips to each footprint for a strap. 3. Have everyone write on their shoes one way they want to follow Jesus. 4. Keep these by your real shoes for a week. When you put your shoes on, remember to follow Jesus. Donut, give up. When you make a mistake, you can always do better tomorrow. Make these donuts to remind you that Jesus can always help you to do better. Be sure to get an adult's help. 1 can refrigerated biscuit dough, oil for frying, powdered sugar or cinnamon sugar. Pour enough oil in a frying pan to cover the bottom. Heat on medium until it sizzles. Use your finger to poke and stretch a hole in the middle of each piece of biscuit dough. Fry the donuts about a minute on each side until golden brown. Set them on a paper towel-lined plate to cool. Sprinkle the donuts with sugar and enjoy. More ideas. Read President Uchtdorf's message, page 2, and sing a favorite primary song. Read the stories on Show and Tell, page 20, and draw your own pictures of Jesus. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of Family Night Fun. Read by Jane Wise.
Book of Mormon Reading Club. Join in by reading the Book of Mormon. You can read on your own, with your family, or with a friend. Then tell us about it. See page 39 to find out how.
I finished the children's version of the Book of Mormon before my baptism. At the end of the book, my mommy asked me to pray about the Book of Mormon. I had already felt when I was reading that the words were true. Sean I, age 7, Somerset, England.
The bishop asked our ward to pray about giving a Book of Mormon to someone. My daddy felt he should give it to me. He highlighted special parts and gave it to me for my birthday. I set a goal to read the whole Book of Mormon before I got baptized. I started to read it every single night. I prayed to know if it is true, and it is. Brielle M., age 7, Wisconsin, USA.
This month's scripture. 2 Nephi, chapter 25, verse 26. We talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins.
End of this month's Book of Mormon Reading Club. Read by Rena and Shannon Nelson and Gabriel Reinwand.
The Right Choice by Justina McCandless, based on a true story. And they are free to choose. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 27. Justina sat extra tall in her seat. She placed her new pencils at the top of her desk. Today was the first day of school. She'd met her classmates and drawn a fun picture. So far, so good. Then Mrs. Werner said,
"Time to work on writing."
Mrs. Werner handed out papers to the class.
"You have 30 minutes to work on this. Then we'll go to recess."
Justina gulped.
"Oh no, writing already?"
she thought. Last year, Justina had a hard time with reading and writing. All of her friends seemed to like it. It wasn't so hard for them. What if this year was like last year all over again? Justina picked up her pencil. She looked at her paper. Her stomach sank. All the other students were already writing, except for her. She wanted to talk to Mrs. Werner. Would she be mad that Justina was having trouble? Even if she was, that still sounded better than writing. Justina walked to her teacher's desk.
"Mrs. Werner, this is harder than what I did last year. I don't think I can do it."
Mrs. Werner didn't look upset. She smiled at Justina.
"Do what you can. You might be surprised at what you can do. You can't always choose what you're good at, but you can always choose how hard you try."
Justina walked back to her desk. She thought about what Mrs. Werner said.
"I can choose to try."
That was like what she learned in primary. Her class read a scripture that said, "We are free to choose."
Could school be different this year?
Justina wondered. Maybe she could choose to make it different. Justina picked up her pencil. She looked at her paper. She took a deep breath.
"Okay, I'm going to try."
The recess bell rang. Justina wasn't finished yet, but she was more than halfway done. She raised her hand.
"Can I stay and keep working? I'm so close to being done."
Mrs. Werner smiled and nodded. Justina finally handed in her paper. Her hand ached a little bit. Even her brain hurt. But she was smiling. She had never worked so hard on writing before. The next day, the class worked on reading. Mrs. Werner asked everyone to read for 20 minutes. Justina tried again. She opened her book and sounded out the words. Justina started making new choices every day. She chose to read. She chose to write. Maybe reading and writing weren't so bad. She even chose to go to the library. She checked out books. Last year, she had never done that. Soon, she was reading all the time. It was actually fun. And the more she read, the better she got at writing. And soon, reading and writing became some of her favorite things to do. The author lives in Rhineland, Palatinate, Germany.
Hi, I'm Justina from The Story. After I learned to love writing, I just kept on doing it. I wrote in high school. Then I went to college to learn more about writing. Now I'm a writer. I get to write stories, like this one about my challenges as a kid. I've written for magazines, websites, and newspapers.
End of the story, The Right Choice. Read by Jane Wise, Rena Nelson, Naomi Elliott, and Chloe Hopper.
Fun stuff. Pitch your tent. When King Benjamin taught his people, they set up tents to sit in while they listened to him. See Mosiah chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. That was a bit like general conference. Here's how to make your own tent for conference. 1. Trace and cut out the shapes. 2. Fold along the dotted lines. 3. Glue or tape tabs to the inside of the main tent piece. 4. As you watch or listen to conference, write the things you learn on strips of paper and place them inside the tent. 5. After conference, pull out and read those strips of paper, maybe as part of family home evening. Find more conference activities at gc.lds.org. End of Fun Stuff, read by Kristen Hawkins.
Conference Blessings, a true story written by you. By Sierra M., age 11, Nevada, USA. I really enjoy listening to the talks given during General Conference. Last April, one of my favorites was Elder Gary E. Stevenson's talk. He talked about the Holy Ghost and how he comforts us. Elder Stevenson's talk reminded me of when my little sister was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. Her muscles got really weak, and she was in a lot of pain. She was in the hospital for a week for treatments. During those terrible days, I remembered being comforted by the Holy Ghost. When I would pray, I would hear him say that she would be okay. My sister had to learn how to walk again, but after a few months of physical therapy, she could walk and play like she used to. I was so glad to see her happy again. I am thankful to have the Holy Ghost always with me. Listening to General Conference helps me understand more about the gospel and grow my testimony. End of the story, Conference Blessings, read by Salem Tullis.
Shine your light. Ready to help.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm from British Columbia, Canada. I try to let my light shine by being ready to help. If something needs to be done, I'm ready.
1. 3 languages.
My daddy is from Hong Kong, and my mommy is from Guangxi, China. I speak 3 languages, Cantonese, Mandarin, and English. In my branch, we speak Cantonese and Mandarin in sacrament meeting, and we combine with an English-speaking branch for primary.
2. Hymnbook Helper.
Every Sunday, I help the missionaries pass out the programs. I make sure everyone gets one. If someone doesn't have a hymnbook, I take them one so they can sing.
3. Future Missionary.
I'm excited to go on a mission someday. My primary teacher said that we could start saving money now, so I've been saving money in my mission piggy bank.
4. Praying with Grandpa.
I know that prayer is very important. When my grandpa stayed with my sister and me, when my parents were out of town, I made sure that we always said our prayers.
5. Getting It Done.
Sometimes we have activities at church, and I always stay to help put the chairs and tables away. When we have the primary sacrament meeting program, I like sing my part.
How can you shine?
Help put up or take down chairs in primary. Look for someone at church who needs a friend. Pick up trash to keep God's creations clean. Make sure everyone has a hymn book. Help your family remember to pray.
Send us a star. Jesus asks us to let our light so shine before men. Matthew 5:16. How do you let your light shine? Send us a star with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39. End of the article, Shine Your Light, Ready to Help. Read by Margot and Enzo Patello.
apostles testify of Christ. Jesus Christ, the Savior and Redeemer of all mankind, is not dead. He lives. The resurrected Son of God lives. That is my testimony. By Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. From The Atonement and the Value of One Soul. Ensign, May 2004, page 86. End of Apostles Testify of Christ. Read by Van Farnworth.
The Great Serial Sacrifice by Chasten Rasmussen, based on a true story. Mom and Dad have called Hannah and her siblings for a family meeting. Mom starts it out.
Our church leaders have asked us to prepare for emergencies, but we don't have much extra money. We'll have to make a sacrifice.
Dad adds,
we're giving up cereal for 1 month. We'll use the money to buy supplies, okay?
Hannah feels really worried and asks,
what will we eat for breakfast?
Mom smiles and says,
oatmeal. We have lots in our food storage.
Hannah sees a picture of oatmeal in her head and thinks,
oatmeal? Blah.
The next morning, Hannah sits at the breakfast table with her arms crossed while looking at a gross-looking bowl of oatmeal and thinks to herself, Mom encourages her.
Try mixing something in. I like raisins in mine.
Okay.
Hannah tries some different ways of eating oatmeal during the month. Day one, raisins.
Gross.
Day two, bananas.
Yuck.
Day three, coconut.
Ew.
Day four, berries.
Nope.
At the end of the month, when she's about to eat oatmeal again, Hannah says,
nothing I try tastes good.
Her sister says,
try this. It has apples, cinnamon, and brown sugar. It tastes like apple pie.
Hannah gives it a taste.
Mmm, that's good. I'm having this tomorrow, too.
Mom says,
I bought first aid supplies for our emergency kits yesterday. Thanks for being good sports. I know giving up your favorite cereal was a sacrifice.
Hannah says,
I'm glad we'll be prepared for an emergency. That makes all this gloppy oatmeal worth it. Besides, it's not so bad after all.
And takes another bite.
End of the comic, The Great Cereal Sacrifice. Read by Kristen Hawkins, Rena and Wes Nelson, and Zoe and Salem Tullis.
Family History Quest. A Family Timeline. Learn more about your family by making a family history timeline. It's easy. Just get a piece of paper for each year since your family started. 1. Date your papers. Write this year's date at the top of the first piece of paper. Then write last year's date on the next one. Work backward until you reach the year your family began. 2. Tell what happened. For each year, write down or draw as many things as you can remember. You could use some of the stories you collected last month to help you. Here are a few ideas. How did your family celebrate the holidays that year? Who was your primary teacher? What school did you go to? Did you take any trips? What pets did you have? What sports or activities did you like to do? When was each child born? When and where did your mom and dad meet? Get married. 3. Add your badge. Put your timeline in your family history folder or box and keep adding to it throughout the year. Remember to cut out your badge and add it to your badge keeper from January. Print past pages at friendfhq.lds.org. Activity idea. For a fun 3D timeline game, put pictures of things that happened on plastic cups, then take turns shuffling the cups and putting them back in order. End of Family History Quest, read by Charlene Stewart.
Old Testament Heroes. Abraham and Sarah made covenants. When Abraham was young, he chose to learn about the gospel instead of following the bad example of his father. After Abraham and Sarah were married, God made a covenant or promise with them. He promised they would have children and that he would bless them. They were faithful, but Abraham and Sarah didn't have children for a long time. Finally, when they were almost 100 years old, they had a son. Heavenly Father blesses us when we keep our covenants, even if His blessings sometimes don't come right away. Read about Abraham and Sarah in Genesis chapter 12 through 21. Abraham and Sarah made covenants with God and trusted in His promises. We can trust God too. Memorize Genesis chapter 17 verse 4. Watch chapter 8 of the Old Testament videos at scriptures.lds.org. Write in your journal about a time you chose to follow God, even though a blessing didn't come right away. I can prepare for or keep my baptismal covenants by Bridget M., age 7, Arizona, USA, drew a fun picture of Abraham and Sarah. End of the section, Old Testament Heroes. Abraham and Sarah Made Covenants. Read by Van Farnworth.
Show and Tell. We played our violins at the Hilcomora Visitor Center. We love sharing our testimonies of Jesus through music. Kayla and Kara S., ages 9 and 8, New York, USA.
I was swinging on the new saucer swing at school when I flew off. I immediately felt prompted to stay low. I am thankful that I listened to the prompting, because if I hadn't, I would have been hit in the head and hurt. The Holy Ghost protects us when we follow His promptings. Anastasia C., age 10, Alberta, Canada.
My favorite part of church is fast and testimony meeting. Matthew W., age 10, Wisconsin, USA.
When my family was sealed in the temple, we all felt happy because we know we will be an eternal family. Manuel C., age 9, Santa Ana, El Salvador.
Jesus Christ was kind. Jesus suffered willingly. Jesus saved us all. Bella G., age 10, Arizona, USA.
We made an HJL CTR shield in the sand while we were on holiday. Sophia, Tomas, and Matias, O, ages 12, 4, and 9, Buenos Aires, Argentina.
We made the empty tomb out of Play-Doh. We know that Easter is about Jesus living again. Adeline, Ian, Allie, and Ariana C., ages 6, 4, 10, and 8, Mississippi, USA.
I never met my grandfather, Bruce, but because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I know that I will be able to meet him one day. Jonathan B., age 7, North Carolina, USA.
The Activity Day girls from the Ketchikan Ward, Alaska, USA, made more than 100 hats and headbands for other children in their community. Each one was unique and made with love.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Sarah L., age 8, Utah, USA. Ella D., age 10, Oregon, USA. Cedric W., age 12, Idaho, USA. Find more art online at childart.lds.org. End of this month's Show and Tell.
Friend to Friend. Heavenly Father Listens, by Elder Weatherford T. Clayton of the 70. From an interview with Jordan Monson Wright. Thou didst hear me in my prayer. Alma chapter 33, verse 6.
I grew up with three brothers in California, USA. We were raised by wonderful parents. At night, our mother would come into our rooms and listen to our prayers. I felt so much love from her. She understood me and was interested in my life. She helped me realize that Heavenly Father loved me too. I knew He was listening to me when I prayed. When I was a teenager, I lived in Japan for a few months without my family. One night, I felt very worried. I had a lot of big questions, and I was nervous. I knelt by my bed and prayed. I said the words out loud instead of in my mind. I poured out my worries to Heavenly Father. All of a sudden, a wonderful feeling came. My worries disappeared. The Holy Ghost filled the whole room with peace. I knew that peace was a gift from my Heavenly Father. I felt that He really did love me and that He wanted me to be happy. That was the first time in my life that Heavenly Father gave me a big answer to a prayer. Not every time is like that. Heavenly Father answers our prayers in different ways. Sometimes He trusts us to try our best to do the right thing. Then He nudges us, or gently guides us, to help us as we go. Those little nudges can be the answer to our prayers. They come at the right time to help us do the right thing. No matter what, you can know that Heavenly Father loves you. He will always listen to you when you pray. End of the section, Friend to Friend. Heavenly Father Listens by Elder Weatherford T. Clayton of the 70. Read by Dwayne Case. Seven days until Easter. In the Scriptures, we can read seven things Jesus Christ said while He was on the cross. Starting the Sunday before Easter, color the numbers as you read the Scriptures for each day. Start with number 7. 7. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus forgave those who hurt Him. We should forgive other people too. Is there someone you can forgive? 6. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. This is what Jesus told another man who was about to die. Because of Jesus, death is not the end. We will all go to the spirit world and then be resurrected someday. Who has died that you look forward to seeing again? 5. Behold thy mother, John chapter 19, verse 27. Before He died, Jesus asked one of His disciples to take care of Mary, His mother. What can you do to show love for a family member today? 4. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. When Jesus felt alone, He prayed and told Heavenly Father about His sad feelings. You can pray too. Try talking to Heavenly Father today like you would to a best friend. 3. I thirst. John chapter 19, verse 28. Jesus felt pain and was terribly thirsty. He understands whenever you feel sick or tired or hurt. Jesus wants us to help others who are ill or tired. What can you do to help someone in your family who isn't feeling well or is very tired? 2. It is finished. John chapter 19, verse 30. Even though what Jesus was doing was really hard and hurt a lot, He didn't give up. He kept on doing the right thing because He loves us and He loves Heavenly Father. Sometimes we might feel like giving up, but we can choose to keep trying. What's something hard that you have done lately? 1. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Jesus knew that he would see his heavenly Father again after he died. Because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, we can also live with our heavenly parents someday. What's something you can do today to follow Jesus? Happy Easter! After Jesus died on the cross, he was resurrected. Because he lived, we will all live after we die. That's what we celebrate at Easter. If ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life, Jesus said. Blessed are those who come unto me. 3 Nephi, chapter 9, verse 14. Watch new videos about Jesus at Mormon.org during March and April. End of the article, 7 days until Easter. Read by Duane Case.
Always Brothers by Jordan Wright, based on a true story. O death, where is thy sting? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Luis bounced up and down in the back seat and sang a silly song. Please settle down, Luis, Dad said. I need to focus on driving.
I can't settle down. It's just so awesome,
Luis said. Dad smiled. I'm glad you're excited to meet your new baby brother. When they got to the hospital, Luis raced to Mom's room. He knew where it was because Mom had been there for 5 days already. She had to stay at the hospital because baby Ian was sick, and Mom was a little bit sick too. Luis had asked to see Ian at least a bajillion times, but Mom always said, not yet. She said that the doctors would decide when Ian was strong enough for a visitor. Today the doctor had called. Today was the day. When Luis walked into Mom's hospital room, she was already holding Ian. Luis ran over to see his new baby brother. Ian was tiny. He looked way smaller than Luis's baby cousins. And there was something different about his nose and ears. He looked like a little elf.
Hi, honey,
Mom said.
Come wash your hands, and then you can hold the baby.
Luis washed his hands with special soap. He climbed onto the hospital bed next to Mom. She leaned over to hand him the baby. Dad helped Luis put his hands in just the right place. Luis looked down at Ian.
Hi, Ian. I'm your brother, Luis. You're going to sleep in my room, and I can show you all my toys, and we can play at the park.
Baby Ian looked right at Luis. Luis thought he was the best baby ever. When Luis's arms got tired, Dad took a turn holding Ian. Mom held one of Luis's hands and looked into his eyes.
Luis, do you remember in primary when you learned about the plan of salvation?
Luis nodded. That had been a good day. Sister Lopez had a moon and a star and a big planet Earth on sticks. Luis got to hold the sun.
Do you remember how we lived in heaven before we came to Earth? And how we are going back to heaven when we die?
Luis nodded again.
Baby Ian is still very sick, and the doctor says that he won't live very long. He is going to die soon and go back to heaven.
Luis looked at Mom. He looked at baby Ian in Dad's arms. Then he frowned. His throat felt tight.
But I love him. I want him to stay here and share my room and play with me. Doesn't he want to stay too?
Mom put her arms around Luis.
Of course he wants to be with us. We're his family. But he will see us again.
He will?
Mom nodded.
Dad and I were married in the temple. We were promised that our family could be together forever. You and Ian will always be our children.
That means baby Ian will always be your brother, Dad explained. And you'll see him again in heaven. Luis was sad. He felt kind of mad, too. But he thought about meeting baby Ian in heaven and smiled just a little. He reached out and rubbed baby Ian's soft hair.
We'll be brothers in heaven? That's awesome!
Mom kissed Luis's cheek.
It is awesome.
The author lives in Iowa, USA.
Sidebar, President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. In Heavenly Father's plan, there are no true endings, only everlasting beginnings. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the first presidency. Grateful in any circumstances. Ensign May 2014, page 77.
End of the story, Always Brothers. Read by Wes Nelson, Gabriel Reinwand, Aaron Tullis, and Dwayne Case.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, Mrs. Cooper is busy with cooking when Matt walks in holding up a towel and an old t-shirt.
Can I have this old towel I found in the closet? And is it okay if I draw on this old t-shirt?
Yes, I guess so.
Matt runs into his room and gets to work creating his superhero costume, complete with a towel cape and a bright letter M on the front of the t-shirt. Sometime later, Mrs. Cooper notices her kitchen is sparkling clean.
Who cleaned up my mess while I was taking dinner to Mrs. Nazari?
Matt dashes off wearing his superhero costume. End of this month's Matt and Mandy.
For older kids, brain teaser. What occurs once in a minute, twice in a moment, and never in 1,000 years? See page 39. Dear Journal, write a letter to your past self. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you were younger? Quick quiz. What did Jesus eat when he appeared to the apostles after he was resurrected? Hint, see Luke chapter 24, verses 41 through 43. A. Bitter herbs. B. Fish and honeycomb. C. Lamb and figs. D. Unleavened bread. See page 39. Secret service. Get up early one Sunday and make your family breakfast before church. Write encouraging messages on the sidewalk with chalk. Hold the door open for someone. Draw it. Draw a snail from a circle. Joshua A., age 11, Georgia, USA, said, I tried to follow Jesus by fasting with a purpose, even when it's hard. End of the segment for older kids, read by Salem Tullis.
Practically Popular by Mary Ellen Van Engelenhoven, based on a true story. A friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 17:17.
Since you're friends with us now, you can't be friends with anyone else,
Jada told me. Okay, I said. I couldn't believe I was friends with the popular girls. I was so lucky. This year was going to be so cool. I could hardly wait to see what popular kids did to be, well, popular. After school, my friend Aaliyah met me.
Hey, Lanisha, are you ready?
She asked. We lived on the same street, and normally we walked home together. I looked around me. I didn't want Jada to see me talking to Aaliyah. No, I don't want to walk home with you, I said. Aaliyah looked confused and sad as I turned and walked home alone, but I didn't care. I didn't want to risk losing my new, popular friends. That Sunday in primary, I looked for a place to sit. Aaliyah waved at me. There was an empty seat by her, but I didn't sit there. Even at church, I couldn't risk sitting by someone who wasn't popular, I decided. Besides, who needed friends at church? Having the right friends at school was more important. The next few days, Aaliyah kept asking me to walk home with her, and I kept saying no. Why won't she leave me alone, I thought. Can't she see I'm not her friend anymore? I was hanging out with my new friends a lot. Being popular was fun. I tried not to notice Aaliyah at school or church. I told myself she had other friends, so I didn't have to talk to her. One night, the phone rang. Mom answered it and frowned as she listened.
Don't worry. I'll talk to her. Thanks for calling.
Mom hung up the phone.
Lanisha, that was Aaliyah's mom. She says you won't walk home with Aaliyah or even talk to her. Aaliyah is really sad. She doesn't understand why you keep ignoring her.
My stomach got tight. I tried to come up with something to say, but I didn't think Mom would understand how important my new friends were to me. I just don't want to be friends with her anymore, I said. But I felt guilty. I knew that wasn't true. I thought of how mean I had been to Aaliyah lately. We used to be good friends. I knew in my heart that the way I was treating Aaliyah was wrong. On Sunday, Sister Hong gave a lesson on repentance. She said,
"If you do something wrong, you need to ask the person you have hurt for forgiveness."
I kept thinking about those words. I knew what I needed to do. I didn't care what Jada or any of my popular friends thought. I was going to talk to Aaliyah and say sorry. After church, I saw Aaliyah. My stomach knotted, but I knew I should ask her for forgiveness. I needed to be kind at school and church, and everywhere in between. I swallowed hard and took a deep breath. "Hi, Aaliyah," I said. "Can I talk to you?" Aaliyah's face lit up.
"Of course!"
The knot in my stomach came undone. Aaliyah didn't have to forgive me, but I still wanted to ask. Maybe we could start walking home together again, and we could be new, old friends. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. All of us need true friends to love us, to listen to us, to show us the way. President Henry B. Eyring, first counselor in the First Presidency. From True Friends, Ensign, May 2002, page 29. End of the story, Practically Popular. Read by Maya Reinwand, Margot Patello, Shannon Nelson, Kristen Hawkins, Shauna Thompson, and Wes Nelson. What's on your mind?
My parents are divorced. How will my family be together forever? Worried in Wichita.
Dear Worried, having parents divorce is really hard, and it can bring a lot of questions that don't have easy answers. But there are some answers that may help you with your worries. Answer number one, your family is actually much bigger than you might think. It includes your grandparents, cousins, and other ancestors stretching back for generations. Someday, when you get married and have a family of your own, you can be with them forever too. And you'll always be part of Heavenly Father's family, no matter what. Answer number two, if you were sealed to your parents, you are still sealed to them, even if they aren't sealed to each other anymore. And you are still sealed to all of your ancestors who have made temple covenants. We don't know exactly how Heavenly Father will work things out in heaven, but we know He will. Answer number three. Heavenly Father loves you and both of your parents. He will keep trying to bless each one of you and help you all get back to Him. He can do great things. Answer number four. You can pray to Heavenly Father anytime about anything that is worrying you, including this. He loves you and loves to send the Holy Ghost to give you peace and comfort. We love you too, the friend. What's on your mind? Do you have a question about the gospel, growing up, or getting a testimony? Email us at friend@ldschurch.org and put "What's on your mind" in the subject line. Don't forget to include the permission statement on page 39. We're excited to hear from you.
End of the article, What's on Your Mind? Read by Gabriel Reinwand and Shauna Thompson.
Food and fun. Rocky Road granola. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 1/2 cup of mixed nuts, almonds, walnuts, peanuts, etc., 1 1/2 cups regular oats, 2 tablespoons sesame seeds, 1 tablespoon oil, 1 tablespoon honey, 1/2 cup raisins or dried cranberries, 1/2 cup mini marshmallows, 3/4 cup chocolate chips. 1. Heat the oven to 320 degrees Fahrenheit, 160 degrees Celsius. 2. Stir the nuts, oats, sesame seeds, oil, and honey together in a big bowl. 3. Spread it out on a baking sheet and bake for 10 minutes. Stir it around and bake for 15 more minutes. then let it cool. 4. Pour the granola in a bowl and add the dried fruit, marshmallows, and chocolate chips. 5. Add milk or vanilla yogurt and enjoy. Wisdom Rocks. The wise man built his house upon a rock. See Matthew 7, verses 24 to 25. Put a wise thought or scripture on a rock to inspire you or to share with a friend. All you need is a smooth rock and a permanent marker. End of the article, Food and Fun, read by Enzo Patello.
Haircut Disaster by Julianne Tenney Doman, based on a true story. And it came to pass that I did frankly forgive them. 1 Nephi chapter 7, verse 21.
Hi, Mom!
Max called as he walked into the kitchen and set his backpack down.
Hey, buddy!
Mom pulled Max into a big hug and ruffled his hair.
Wow, I can hardly see you under there. I think you need a haircut.
Max grinned.
I was thinking the same thing, and I know just how I want it cut. You know that haircut where it's shorter in the back and on the sides and longer on the top?
A lot of boys in Max's class had that haircut. And so did Max's favorite comic book character, Sam Slate, kid's super spy.
I'm not really an expert hair cutter, but I think I can do that.
I'll grab the clippers.
Max raced to the bathroom as fast as he could. He couldn't wait for his awesome new haircut. When Max got back, Mom was ready with a towel, a chair, and a hand mirror.
How short do you want it in the back?
She showed Max the clipper sizes, 1 through 8.
The smaller the clipper number, the shorter it cuts the hair.
Max sorted through the different clippers.
Maybe a size 2 on the bottom and a 7 on the top?
All right, have a seat. World's best haircut coming up.
Mom draped the towel over Max's shoulders and turned on the clippers. Max listened to the buzzing sound as she trimmed around his ears. The falling hair tickled the back of his neck. Max tried to picture how he'd look when Mom was done. He could already feel himself transforming into Sam Slate. Max's younger sister, Emma, came in through the front door.
Hi, Mom. I'm home.
We're in the kitchen, honey.
Emma poked her head through the doorway.
Oh, looking good.
She came in and dropped her backpack on the table.
I'm starving.
Me too,
Max said. Emma peeked into a cupboard.
Can I make peanut butter crackers, Mom?
Sure. Can you make Max some too?
Okay.
Emma stood on her tiptoes to reach for the peanut butter on the top shelf.
It's too high, Mom. Can you help me?
Good timing. I just finished with the back.
Mom switched off the clippers and went to help Emma. Then she came back and stood in front of Max.
Okay, now for part 2.
Max was so excited that he wanted to jump out of his chair, but he sat very still. Mom made the first cut. Then she gasped.
What's wrong?
Mom bit her lip.
Max, I'm so sorry. I forgot to change out the clippers for the top.
Max's heart sank. He slowly picked up the mirror.
I can cut the rest of your hair short to match, but that's the best I can do.
Max stared at the big chunk of missing hair. He definitely didn't look like Sam Slate. He looked like a disaster. For a second, he wanted to shout or maybe cry. But instead, he took a deep breath. Mom was just trying to help. After a minute, he felt a lot calmer.
It's okay, Mom. After all, hair grows back, right?
He said with a smile. Mom gave him a big hug.
Right. And when it does, I'll triple-check the settings so you can have the world's best haircut.
Mom finished cutting Max's hair. It wasn't the cool style Max wanted, but it was okay. Max smiled as he looked in the mirror again. He had followed Jesus by choosing to be kind. And being like Jesus was even better than being like Sam Slate. Question for you. When have you been kind and forgiving in your family?
End of the story, Haircut Disaster. Read by Shauna Thompson, Enzo and Margot Patello, and Rena Nelson.
You Shine Bright. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or a story, 1, fill out the form below and send it in with your story or artwork and send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. 2, we might edit your submission for length or clarity and we can't return it to you. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a young boy dressed in a Pharaoh costume places the last couple of cans of food at the top of his humongous pyramid of cans. His dad watches and says to his mom,
"Huh. I was wondering where all our food storage went."
End of the article, You Shine Bright, read by Chloe Patello and Wes Nelson.
For parents of little ones, the word gratitude usually makes us think of Thanksgiving. But Easter can be a holiday full of gratitude, too, especially gratitude for the Savior. Easter is on April 1st this year, so now is a perfect time to help your young children think about Jesus. Here are some ideas to help your child feel grateful for Jesus. Fill Easter eggs with small pictures of Jesus, like the picture on page FJ3. Have an egg hunt. After the eggs are found, put the pictures in order to talk about the life of Jesus Christ. Help children understand that Easter is a time to remember the things Jesus has done for us. Watch videos about Jesus at BibleVideos.org. Don't forget to share your own testimony of Jesus Christ. Fill in the blank. Thank you, Jesus, for blank. Write your child's ideas on sticky notes and fill up a window or a mirror. Help them draw pictures. Stick figures are okay. Emphasize gratitude in your family prayers. Before praying, ask for ideas about what everyone is grateful for. You could even make that question a regular part of family prayer time. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of For Parents of Little Ones, read by Charlene Stewart.
Action Rhyme. Jesus Was a Child Too, by Jordan Monson Wright. I was a baby and so were you. Jesus was a baby too. He learned to walk and run and play. He learned to listen and to pray. He cared for his body and helped it grow. He asked for help when he didn't know. I am like him, for you see, Jesus was a child like me. End of the action rhyme, Jesus Was a Child Too. Read by Ocean Patello.
Jackson Loves Easter, by Marissa Whittedson. It is Easter. The sun is shining. Jackson is happy. Jackson loves Easter because he gets to see his family and collect Easter eggs. Jackson loves Easter because he gets to go to church and sing in primary. Most of all, Jackson loves Easter because it reminds him of Jesus. Jesus gave us the sun. Jesus gave us our family. Jesus gave us the church. Jesus died on the cross so we can live with our heavenly parents again one day. He loves us. Jackson is thankful that Jesus gave us so many wonderful things. End of Jackson Loves Easter, by Marissa Whittedson. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Scripture Stories. Noah, by Kim Webb Reed. A long time ago, people on earth were making bad choices. God sent a brave prophet named Noah. He told the people that they should repent and love God. Did they listen? No. They kept doing bad things. God told Noah that he would get rid of the bad things on the earth. God told Noah to build a big boat called an ark. Noah gathered his family and animals inside the ark. Then it started to rain. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The whole earth was covered with water. Noah and his family and the animals were safe inside the ark. Finally, the rain stopped. The floodwaters went down. Noah saw a rainbow in the sky. God promised to never flood the whole earth again. I can be like Noah and listen to Heavenly Father. I know God keeps His promises. I am blessed when I obey His commandments. End of Scripture Stories. Noah by Kim Webb Reed, read by Jane Wise. Ruby Gets Ready by Jane McBride, based on a true story. Ruby didn't like to put on her socks. She didn't like to put on her shoes. She liked Mom to do it for her. But Mom couldn't today. Mom was taking care of Ruby's baby brother, Ezra. It was Sunday. It was time for church. Ruby cried about putting on her socks. She cried about putting on her shoes. Her family was late for church. On Monday night, it was time for family home evening. The family sang a song. Mom said a prayer. Ruby's big brother, Danny, gave the lesson. Danny read a story from the Bible. The story was about Noah. God asked Noah to build a ship. Other people made fun of Noah, but Noah did what God asked.
When we choose the right, we feel happy,
Danny said.
When we choose the right, it makes Heavenly Father and Jesus happy too.
When we choose the right, it makes Heavenly Father and Jesus happy too. Ruby thought about that. She didn't feel happy when she cried about her socks and shoes. Maybe she could make a better choice. The next day, Mom needed to go to the store.
Ruby, please put your socks and shoes on. I'll get Ezra ready.
Ruby started to cry. She didn't want to put on her socks or her shoes. Then she remembered the story from family night. She could choose the right. Ruby put on her socks and shoes. She brushed her hair. She put on her coat.
I'm ready,
she said. Mom smiled.
Thank you. You're getting so grown up.
Mom's smile made Ruby happy. The author lives in Colorado, USA.
End of the story, Ruby Gets Ready. Read by Jane Wise, Sean and Shannon Nelson, and Kristen Hawkins.